Hey, everybody, Pastor Josh here on our Stronger Marriage podcast. Today, my wife and I tackle your questions, dating, prenups, infidelity, and more, coming right now.
Okay, you ready? First one we got was this. How normal is it when the husband thinks everything in the marriage is perfect and the wife thinks there are areas for growth? How do you deal with that? It seems petty to stir up discontent, yet sometimes it is necessary to burst their bubble?
I think that's like every marriage on the planet.
Yeah.
So I think by nature, guys are probably pretty clueless. So I don't think that makes their marriage abnormal. I don't think she should be discouraged. Mm-hmm. I think men can tend to be clueless. I think women can tend to be hypercritical or maybe hypersensitive. And so I think...
Those are the ditches, you mean?
Yeah, I think a husband can probably tend to be clueless or distracted, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe not just as emotionally intuitive or intelligent. And then the wife can tend to like over analyze everything. And well, why did he say that? And well, we never do this. And kind of maybe get up in her head a little bit potentially. And so those are the ditches. What was her question?
Did I derail you?
No, I'm sure. No, that was
how normal is it when the husband thinks everything in the marriage is perfect and the wife thinks there are areas for growth? How do you deal with that? It says she doesn't want to be petty to stir up discontent, yet sometimes it seems necessary to burst their bubble.
Okay. Well, I don't think, let's make an assumption here that this is a Christian marriage, that two people love Jesus and want to make it better. Mm-hmm. I don't think she should view her job as bursting his bubble. I think she should view her job as helping him. Mm-hmm. And so part of the way she helps him is to help him see things he doesn't see. So if she wasn't needed and her perspective wasn't needed, then she wouldn't be necessary for the marriage to work, but she is needed and she is necessary. That's why God put her there. And so she should step into that. So, we do that all the time. I think you've gotten better at it.
In what way specifically?
By being more sensitive to my fragile male sensitivities.
Actually, I think I've gotten better because I didn't want to say things early on in our marriage.
Yeah. So
I was afraid to say things.
Yeah. Why were you afraid to say things?
Well, I thought you were going to get defensive, or I thought maybe I didn't. I mean, maybe you did every once in a while.
Hypothetically speaking.
Let's just say that potentially you would have got defensive about what I would bring up. And then I think sometimes I second guessed myself like, oh, is this... Right. Should I bring this up? Is this really a problem? Is this my problem? Like you're saying.
Yeah.
Which requires a lot of then talking with the Holy Spirit first.
Yeah.
I mean, as a wife, before I bring anything up to you.
Yeah. Your error wasn't like hyper opinionated critical attack. Your error was, oh, I'm probably not seeing it straight. I just don't say anything. So my work with you was to not be defensive when you'd point something out, whether I thought it was right or wrong, because I realized, well, my gosh, if I shoot her down every time she talks, how much more will she want to do that? Probably not. And so I had to humble myself. And then in the process of humbling myself, well, hey, what do you know? I realized occasionally you had some good things to say.
Thank you.
More than occasionally. It was a lot.
Yes.
And so, for the wife who has maybe like nagged and just constant, I mean, the Proverbs talks about a nagging wife as like better a man like live on the roof of his house and be stuck with a wife who just won't shut up.
Isn't she also called a constant drip?
Yeah. And so and that's like also a form of torture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, literally they torture terrorists with nagging wives.
Nice.
So I would say to her, talk to a godly woman, get some counsel, and then ask him, hey, I have some questions I'd love to talk. And then you've been great. You don't bring things up like in the moment of war. You wait for peace, peacetime, not wartime, and then bring up questions. Mm-hmm. And then you never bring them in the form of accusations. You bring in the form of questions. You'll be like, hey, here's some things I've been thinking. Maybe right, maybe not right. Help me process through. I feel like we're stuck, or I feel like we're off track, or I feel like the kids need some attention here. And then you often lump yourself in with it as opposed to like, I feel. And then when you say it, I'm like, actually, I'm off track. Actually, I'm not present with the kids. Actually, you know, you're being very gracious to lump yourself in on this, but actually, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
And so in your graciousness to me and how you come, it opens me up to want to to want to be humble and to want to receive what you have to say,
yeah.
As opposed to immediately going into defense mechanism and yeah. trying to prove why I'm right and you're wrong. And that's my issue, not yours. And so I don't think the wife should tiptoe around her husband.
Right.
I think she should be sensitive and not critical. I think she should walk in the Spirit and ask the Lord to help her. Mm-hmm. And I think she shouldn't be afraid to be his helpmate, because my gosh, Lord knows we need helpmates.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Anything you would add to that?
Nope. I just think there's a lot of work to be done in your own heart as a wife before you bring something to your husband. And we are the helpers, and we just have to make sure that we're walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
And because I've had plenty of times where things have come to mind, and I've not necessarily sat on it for a while, but I have prayed about it for a while,
yep.
deciding, okay, Lord, is this the right time to bring it up?
Yep.
Not because I'm afraid, but yep. because I want to be clear and helpful, and I want it to be done at a time when we can actually talk about it
yep.
And make it the most easily received
yep.
For sure.
Yep.
And so I would encourage a wife to do that. Make sure you're checking your own heart first, obviously, is yep. where it starts. And if this is something in your own marriage that is a problem in an area of sin, for sure, go talk to the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Be a helper. You can do it.
And I think both are being sensitive to the other.
True.
And when we're saying to pray about it, sit on it, that's not small things. I mean, small things we talk every day, all
yes.
day about.
But yes.
if she's saying there's something bigger and larger she wants to tackle,
right.
yeah, pray about it, sit with it, talk to the Lord. Oftentimes you've done that, and then that process, the Lord convicts me on it, and then I initiate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing I would say too is wives need to bring things to husbands, and husbands also need to have the humility to lead their wives,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes the wife doesn't see it clearly. And sometimes yep. she's being steered by misplaced empathy.
Yep.
And he needs to say, I hear you. Here's why I don't think that's accurate. And then you've brought things to me that you felt deeply about, and then I corrected it.
True.
You're not thinking about that right. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing it accurately. Mm-hmm. Here's how we need to think about it according to the Word of God,
yeah.
whatever. And then you're like, oh, thank you. And then you were carrying a burden sometimes for someone else, and,
yes.
and that misplaced empathy or sense mm-hmm. of, did we hurt their feelings? So husbands need to have the stones and the backbone to lovingly correct and lead
mm-hmm.
and educate and teach their wife. And they need to have the humility to receive something that's from the Spirit.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one. Awesome.
You got to ask the next one too.
I get to ask. Oh, yes. Sweet. Number two, my husband has cheated and is still talking with her, I'm assuming the gal, and says that they are just friends. She is divorced with two children and says she just needs a friend. What can I do to save my marriage?
My gosh, punch him in the face. It's so frustrating. So this guy's a class A idiot. So mm-hmm. He shattered the covenant, violated her trust,
mm-hmm.
Performed an act of absolute relational, emotional violence upon his wife. And then he has the audacity to think that she should trust him in just talking with this woman.
Yeah.
He's a class A idiot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a class A idiot. He needs to a dude that loves him to punch him in the face, to be like, bro, wake up. So
yeah.
he's continuing to act, in violence against her, and I'm saying not in physical violence, but mm-hmm. in spiritual violence, in a very, very harsh way, to in a very foolish way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, oh my gosh, it's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wake up, bro.
Yeah.
Buy a clue. It's like, if the woman that he's talking with is divorced and has kids,
mm-hmm.
That's not his problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might have added the problem and caused the problem by the sin he committed.
Yeah.
But he needs to communicate one more time with her. I screwed up. I deeply apologize. Would you forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking Jesus for forgiveness
right.
and his help to fix up the marriage I've screwed up. And I'm going to ask him to help you and how I've screwed you up.
Yeah.
I deeply apologize. And then he needs to say, and we will never speak again.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that for the sake of my marriage. I'm doing that for the sake of your life as well.
Yeah.
And then he needs to move on.
Yeah.
And he needs to, so when a man violates the marriage covenant and violates her trust,
mm-hmm.
It is not appropriate for the wife to instantly trust him again. That's not what the marriage covenant means. That's
yeah.
not what God asks. We forgive, and then we test.
Yeah.
If he's asked for repentance, she is required by the Lord to forgive him, to keep his sin from getting into her heart and then poisoning her. So the way she gets that poison out is she forgives him,
mm-hmm.
and she turns him over to Christ, meaning if he has sinned
right.
And is unrepentant, then God's going to deal with him.
Yeah.
And if he is repentant, God already has dealt with him in the work of Christ, and the wife couldn't improve it by bringing judgment on him through bitterness. And so mm-hmm. she needs to forgive him and turn him over to Jesus.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that she instantly starts trusting him.
Right.
She needs to test his repentance, mm-hmm. which means she extends to him the grace and opportunity to regain trust over time by demonstrating his repentance. And so, and that needs help. That needs guidance. And they can maybe work that out together or with some help of a pastor or a friend, but she needs to say, you've violated my trust. I need you to rebuild it. Can we make a plan for that to happen?
Yeah.
And then when a spouse has violated the trust of another spouse, it's the spouse who's been violated who gets to set the rules and parameters of rules of engagement.
Right.
So the husband should say, I violated your trust. I violated our marriage covenant. I've asked Jesus for forgiveness. I've asked the person I've sinned against for forgiveness, who I committed adultery with. Mm. I'm asking you for forgiveness. And now I'm asking you to help me put together a plan for what I can do to regain your trust.
Yeah.
So she gets to set the boundaries, not him. She gets to set the rules of engagement, not him. And if he's arguing that he can be trusted to set the rules of engagement, he is an absolutely clueless fool. She's the one who gets to say what he gets to do and not do while he's in this season of rebuilding trust.
So for this gal right now, though, what can she do? Like if he's still, he's like, no, it's okay. I'm just talking to this gal. She needs a friend. What is this wife supposed to do with that?
She needs to tell him, I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel violated every time you reach out and talk to her. It puts feelings of doubt in my mind and heart about you that I don't want to have. I'm asking you to please never speak with her again. And if he says no, then they have bigger problems.
Yeah. Wow.
If she's at Grace City, she needs to come talk to a pastor.
Yeah.
And get some help. If she's at another church, she needs to go talk to a pastor there. And she needs to say, hey, I know you think I'm wrong and I think you're wrong. Would you be willing for us to go talk to a pastor to get counsel from a godly man to see what you should do?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
she needs to test his repentance because it sounds like he's playing games with it right now.
Yeah. And that's not okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's good, babe.
Hey, everybody, Pastor Josh here. Wanted to let you know about a couple cool things we got going on here at Stronger Man Nation for our listening audience. The first is a devotional resource my wife and I wrote called 30 Days to a Stronger Marriage. You can go to StrongerManNation.com to get that free resource that we would love to send to you and get in your hands. The second is a giveaway experience we want to give to a father and son, an all-expense-paid weekend. That's right. We want to bring you and your boy to our Stronger Man Nation conference this Father's Day, June 14th and 15th. No matter where you live or listen from, we'll pay for your plane tickets or train tickets or boat tickets or whatever it takes to get you here. And we'll stick you up in a hotel. We'll make sure you get great front row seats at the conference, throw in an outstanding swag bag of Stronger Man Nation swag, and even get you a backstage pass to meet some of our incredible speakers. Go to StrongerManNation.com to sign up to enter to win this free giveaway, and we'll see you there.
Okay.
Here's one for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
What should single people do in a world when the dating market is so corrupted? Should men wait to act or should men pursue first?
Well, I'm a little confused by the whole part about men waiting.
Okay.
That seems backwards to me.
Okay.
So I would agree that the dating market, the world is corrupted upside down. Yes, for sure. I guess dating market, does that mean like the pool out there to choose from is corrupted or the...
What market are you shopping in?
Yeah. So agreed. I think that's always been the case though, because there's been sin in the world forever.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be challenges to finding someone to spend your life with, right? Because... yeah. But the whole part about should men wait, I'm just getting a little stuck on that part.
Okay.
No, men should not wait. That's one of the biggest problems we have is men that think they should wait around or get things all, I don't know what they're waiting for, actually. I'm not real sure. I think by the time they are 17, 18, 19, they should definitely be looking around pursuing. They should have been looking around for a while. They should have been already thinking and preparing. How can I be ready to go out and take the next step, the next load to carry for a man, which would be a wife and a household, potentially children, and the weight that comes with having to provide for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And have to live in such a way that you have to prefer another in love. Like those are the heavy weights that men are supposed to put in their truck and carry, right? Yeah. What is that that Mark says that men ride better with a heavy load, right? Like a truck. And so it's like, if a dude's not able to go out and pursue and take some risks, because that's what it's going to take for a man to go out and try and find a wife in the so-called dating market, he's going to have to take some risks, but he should be able to step up and do that. And I don't mean just by dating every woman and just trying to figure it out. He should be intentionally, right? Paying attention to the women in the community he's in. Hopefully he's in a church community. Hopefully he's in a place where he can observe women that are following Jesus, because that's the only place you want to be searching, by the way. And then he can be, I mean, I remember you did this. You started talking to like all my friends without talking to me, asking questions, doing a little recon. Like, what are you doing waiting, bro? Like, don't wait. Like, you should be actively out there asking questions, looking, observing, and then taking a step to pursue. Hey, would you be willing to step into an intentional friendship with me, with the possibility of us looking down the road? Because I'm not here to mess around. I'm not here to just be in a little fling. I'm not here because I just want to kind of, you know, hang out for a little bit. I want to get married. I want to be serious about covenant. Right. And I want to show you that I can provide, and I want to step forward and take this weight. Would you be willing to walk on this journey with me?
Yeah. This question is from a guy who's like thinking God's going to like drop a godly woman out of heaven and is going to hit him in the side of the face as he's walking down the street. The problem with men today, we'll call them boys, is boys take initiative with sin. Men take initiative with righteousness. Mm. So there's the difference between taking it. So there's lots of guys out there having sex with girls.
Right.
That's taking initiative into foolishness and evilness and sin.
Yep.
Men take initiative into righteousness, which is to pursue a girl, honor a girl, lead a girl.
Marry a girl.
Yeah, marry a girl. And so for this guy, take initiative by putting yourself in a context where the kind of woman you would want to marry would be.
There you go.
So pursue ministry, pursue serving, get into community, get into a life-giving church, get in a context that would draw the kind of woman you want to find, and then put your head down, put your hand to the plow, start serving, be a part of a community of faith, and then look to your right, look to your left, and see who's there.
Yeah.
So take aggressive steps, pursue finding a woman, and go to the kind of context where the kind of woman you would want to marry would be. So yes, take initiative towards righteousness, not unrighteousness, towards wisdom, not foolishness, towards responsibility, not irresponsibility, towards long-term vision, not short-term satisfaction. So stop dating for sex and start looking for a woman you could marry.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. In a day and age that claims our value is based on who we date, when we find our identity and value in God and find everything in Him, why do we want or need marriage if God is our source of identity?
Why do we want or need marriage if God is our source of identity? Because God told us we needed marriage. Not to point out the obvious, but He looked at Adam, and Adam was like finding his identity in God, and Adam and God was like, yeah, you need Eve. So, I think the question, the confusion behind the question is conflating, God's good gifts, with gifts we turn into idols. So, can sex become an idol? Yes. Can food become an idol? Yes. Can man's approval become an idol? Yes. That doesn't mean sexuality is bad, or food is bad, or affirmation is bad. It simply means if we put it in the place of preeminence, now it's gone from a good gift to a bad thing.
Right.
So marriage is a good gift. And God has given marriage as a means by which He can meet some of our deepest needs. And that's not idolatry, and that's not, you know, and so I want to be careful when we say, when I say I put Jesus before you, that doesn't mean that you aren't a means of grace by which God directs me back to him.
Right.
And you aren't a means of grace by which I experience God's love to me and God's grace to me and God's mercy to me. And so you are God's primary agent in almost every area of sanctification in my life that is the dominant means of grace where I experience God's grace. And so, yes, we find our identity in Christ, and we need marriage because God said we needed marriage, and he gave it to us as a gift because he loves us. Mm-hmm. So we don't reject good gifts. We receive them, and then we redeem them where they're broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just said it, I mean, last week with covenant, like marriage is designed to display to the world, right, about the covenant-keeping love of God and how he works with his church, with the bride of Christ.
Yep.
And so, I mean, the only way that that marriage is going to display is if we find our identity in Christ. So they go together. I don't feel like they're opposing things.
Yep.
It's not opposing to say that God is our source of identity. So why do we need marriage? Well, those don't, they go together. Yep. They're not against each other, I guess is what I think when I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah. In short,
it's going to be long.
My question is, are you pro prenup or anti prenup?
No.
I got to finish.
No.
The reason I bring it up is because
I'm anti prenup.
Is that it? Was that your answer?
That's my short answer to a short question.
The reason
There's
I bring
no
it up.
There's no scenario that could make me change my mind.
Really?
None.
Well, let me at least give the person the benefit of the doubt of reading the question.
No.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me then what else you think.
Okay, read the question.
Okay. The reason I bring it up is
the answer is no.
It's because so many young men are scared to get married because they are scared that 20 years down the road, their wife will go off the rail and leave them, taking them for everything they have.
Then don't marry a woman that would do that.
Many feel as
and
though...
And don't be the kind of man that she'd want to leave.
Okay. Can I keep going? Well, many feel...
I mean, come on. I mean, like... Okay, keep going.
Many feel as
Is this
though,
a woman or asking this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Many, well, finish the question.
I think it sounds more like a guy that maybe that happened to...
Well, okay, keep going.
Many feel as though being pro-prenup is having one foot out the door. On the other hand, one could argue that marriage is high risk to begin with and not having a prenup
No, you're high risk.
The risk
marriage isn't high risk.
Okay.
If you're an idiot, you're totally high risk.
This is true.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. when I married you, I was so confident that you'd never want to leave me. Not arrogantly, but that God would give me the strength to love you in such a way you'd never want to leave. There's no risk in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's work.
Yes.
There's sacrifice. There's dying to myself. There's repenting. There's doing the hard work of going, my gosh, I'm an idiot. Would you forgive me?
Yeah.
But there's no universe where you have a day, an hour where you want to leave me. None.
Yeah.
Because of how I'm going to love you. I tell the men in our city group, I say, here's the deal. You can come knock on my door any hour of any day of any week of the year, and my wife will be flourishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's my fundamental commitment to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't go to marriage with that, then like, I don't get married. Like, don't leave your house. Don't be in any relationship. You're a train wreck.
I'm pretty sure a prenup isn't going to save.
No, it's undermining.
What's happening
the, it's
there.
Undermining the marriage covenant. It's oh my gosh. Covenant is sacred, holy, permanent.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Prenup says covenant is sacred, holy, permanent, sorta, unless caveat, safety net, trapdoor, stupid.
Yeah.
Prenups are for contracts.
Mm-hmm.
A prenup, by nature of what it does, turns the covenant into a contract. It violates the marriage from day one. And so you're actually torpedoing the marriage before it starts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're prophesying into your future that we are going to give ourselves permission to leave if this gets too risky. So marriage isn't risky. People with this kind of mindset are risky.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you can finish the question.
They said, thank you, and God bless you both.
God bless you, too. Okay.
So there you go. That was the answer to that one. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it torpedoes it before you even start, if that's the way you're stepping into this covenant relationship.
I'd like to spend the rest of my life with you, I think. Maybe.
Will you sign this?
Not sure. Could you sign this?
Mm-hmm.
If a man asked a woman to sign a prenup, I would dump him so fast. Well, I would never dump a man because I'd never be with a man. You
no,
get
no,
the point.
I get the
if
point.
You're a woman, my counselor is dump that dude quick.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Because they're not going into it with a biblical mindset.
Yeah.
they're going into it with setting up three trap doors they're gonna pull if yeah. it gets hard.
Well, and it's an absolute assault on any we that's supposed to be going on in your marriage.
Yeah,
we talk about that. You're cultivating your we. There's no way the fact that you have a prenup in a drawer is doing anything good for yeah. the cultivating of oneness yeah. in a marriage,
yeah.
of unity, of we. Are of we. It's not yeah. you and me. It's not my stuff that I yeah. get when we split.
Yeah.
It's we. We have yeah. come together as one. Everything financially, yeah. what we own, our kids, our bodies, everything yeah. is we.
Yeah.
So you put that in there and you got a little eye over here in the corner and it's just going to eat away yeah. and destroy what you already have.
We talk about covenant like taking two boards and gluing them together.
Yeah.
So the two boards are now one. This is like putting like a piece of plastic between those two boards mm-hmm. so they don't adhere.
Yeah.
And then they can easily be taken apart and with as little damage as possible done to them.
Yeah.
You're just undermining and kneecapping the nature of covenant.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah.
That was good.
I love you.
You let her rip on that one. Good well, job. I love you too.
Okay.
Good job.
I'm not going anywhere. Okay. My gosh, that's so dumb. I mean, think about that. I mean, just think about like, hey, if this doesn't work out, can I keep my truck?
Yeah.
That's just the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
What? Why would you do that? The beauty of marriage is that you're taking, you're stepping into the mystery of becoming a part of someone else so intimately.
Yeah.
That that a new being is created,
mm-hmm.
and I get to experience part of the joy of the Trinity of living in this unending, unbroken,
yeah.
intimate, cohesive. Relationship that, and oneness that is just beautiful. So prenups are an assault on and an insult to the institution of marriage. Full stop. Peace out.
That's it.
I love you.
I love you too.
No prenup needed.
Nope.
Hey everyone, Pastor Josh here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast, review, follow, and share to help keep unwoke, uncensored, straight talk Bible teaching coming to you for free.